Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Mark, these Jaffa Cakes are delicious.
They're the best thing I have ever found.
M&S or raspberry-flavoured Jaffa Cakes.
Yeah, they're really, really cheap at the minute. Dangerously cheap. Two boxes for £1.50. 75p a box. I'd reckon that makes each Jaffa Cake worth about 6p.
Yeah, no, we're having a right old night of it.
These are the most delicious things ever.
99p lager and £1.50 Jaffa Cake.
Everyone's like, oh, I'd love a Jaffa Cake. Oh, we'll have a Jaffa Cake. What if there was a raspberry one?
Yeah.
A Jaffa Cake have done it before. They're not doing it now.
What if it was an oblong, eh?
What if it was that good? Aren't they good?
They are very good.
If take nothing else out of this podcast at any
raspberry
point.
Raspberry Jaffa Cakes. M&S,
raspberry Jaffa Cakes. M&S.
Brand new.
Absolutely.
Trying to get us hooked on it.
They are unbelievable. And it's also a sort of useful box if you were, for example, sending a grass snake. to an enemy.
Mark, that came out of nowhere. That really, really did.
Pete, you know I have a lot of enemies. If only I had grass snakes, my life would be much better. welcome back. ECW One Night Stand,
yes.
2005. Do you know, this is actually one of those pay-per-views that I watched it and I was like, oh, it's not as good in the ring as I remembered at all.
Mm.
But it is one of the most popular and beloved pay-per-views of all time.
Right, okay.
People go on about it. So I just Googled One Night Stand 2005. I had to look on Twitter, see what people were saying about it.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right now, in 2019.
Right now,
yeah.
14 years later. Right now. And most people are just going, oh, I watched this again the other night. It's my favourite pay-per-view of all time. No one's going, oh, it's a bit overrated. It's not really overrated because it's great, but the action in the ring isn't amazing. But what an exciting thing. I do find it the strangest thing, like in wrestling, that you put this thing on and you're basically putting on a product for people that don't like your product as much as someone else's product.
Yeah.
And then you're going, it was a huge success because they really liked it because they hate our product so much.
And we won't do this again for another year.
No.
And we'll put John Cena in it according to Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, but that is one of the great matches of all time.
Really?
The reaction. Honestly, the reaction in this throughout is 10 out of 10.
Right.
The reaction in that John Cena RVD match in the next year is one of the most exciting reactions you'll ever see in your life.
Okay.
So thrilling.
Maybe I should watch it.
There was a guy who brought a sign which really summed it all up, which just said, if Cena wins, we riot. And it's the only time it's happened in wrestling where you've thought, I legitimately think if he does win, you will riot. But this isn't a funny sign. This is a statement of fact.
And we know for a fact if everyone gets in the ring, you're fucked. You are fucked.
That bugger's coming down. number three, match three. Woo, got that far in
got
two
there.
Episodes.
Woo.
Psychosis versus Rey Mysterio.
Psychosis. That's what I'd say if I was sick. Psychosis.
It sounds like Papa Lazaro.
Through the nose. Through the nose. Well, actually, before we get there, it's all there's the little VT of all the things. But one of the bits we mentioned, like the ring collapsing, Terry Funk hanging a man by the leg. Terry at one point had a flaming branding iron.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. You can. I think there's a match where he sets that alight, and there's too much rag on the end of the branding iron because obviously a branding iron is metal.
Yeah.
So you have to wrap a like kerosene-soaked rag around the end,
then
you light
flamey,
it.
Yeah.
And he basically comes in, and the rag just flops either onto him or Mick Foley, and they both go up. I mean, it's a living nightmare.
the VT's introduced by. Let's take a look at some early ECW memories. A woman is immediately stabbed in the back of the head, I wrote.
You get Sandman having a fag as well.
Yeah.
And he says the line, "Life's a bitch, and then I married one." And it's just like, wow, this is...
Sandman's horrible.
This ain't your daddy's action figures. This is... Do you know, I'm obsessed with Sandman. And I'm obsessed with him for a number of reasons.
The things he does in this ECW special.
The things he's done throughout his career.
Right.
I mean, you're hard-pressed to say he's a wrestler. Just because he doesn't actually sort of do, and never has done, any moves. I've never seen him... He just sort of runs into people or he gets knocked over.
Yeah.
But I can't think of him actually doing a move.
Right.
That someone who never did wrestling or watched wrestling couldn't have done. I did look into... I might save that for the main event, just because I think we're going to have a bit of a Sandman set.
Sandman set!
Something I'm sure the Sandman is used to. A big sesh that lasts for 9 days.
And then the one who you've married leaves you. But no, the third match is Rey Mysterio versus Psychosis.
Psychosis and Rey, they had an incredible series of matches in ECW.
Yes, okay, right.
I think one of the commentators might say it, but they had something like 500 matches against each other
that
in their Mexican career.
That just seems insanity.
Yeah, this would be... I mean, if you think about it, in Mexico, that's probably just under a year, because you would quite often do two shows a day, if not three. You might do four at the weekend.
Bloody hell.
Could actually do it in about 8 months. You know? But they were incredibly good together, incredibly good. And in ECW, they were both masked men. They came in, and the series really set them for life. It's certainly made Rey Mysterio the superstar in America. Mm. Psychosis, the problem with this match is he comes out and he comes out in his mask. Yeah, which he used to wrestle in.
And that's how everyone
remembers him. And he just takes it off. And there's this guy underneath who looks a little bit like Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, the serial killer. And everyone's a bit like, oh, what's happened?
I thought that the big thing is like,
why have you taken your mask off?
Yeah, because his mask was a cooler mask as well.
It was great. Mask. But it turns out that actually, totally nobody had really noticed this.
Mm.
But in WCW in 2000, where he'd been a leading cruiserweight, he'd lost, I think, on like a TV show that no one, you know, it was a Nitro, but no one had really sort of remembered it.
Right.
He'd lost a mask versus hair match to a guy called Billy Kidman.
Mm.
And so he'd unmasked.
Yes.
And then he took it so seriously.
Oh, he could never wrestle.
He was like,
I
can never put it back on. He took it so seriously, apart from the fact that he I think then lost it in Mexico to Rey Mysterio as well. And he's like, well, I can lose it in two places, obviously. So when he took it off, and nobody knew this, no one remembered that he'd been on Nitro and lost his mask. Rey Mysterio wrestled for years in WWE without a mask on.
Right.
But you want to see him in his mask. Chuck your mask back on.
Put your mask on.
I lost it on Nitro.
Isn't that what people were shouting, though? Like, they were sort of like, put your mask on.
Put it on.
Weird.
Yeah.
But what a strange decision.
The hilarious thing about this, the level of fandom is such. It's amazing that they didn't know, oh, yeah, of course, he's had to unmask. In fact, for the last couple of years, he's been Nicho El Millonaro, not even Psychosis. But that's so
Nicho El Millonaro.
But the thing about it is, they remember like ECW well enough that he comes out without the mask, and you're like, when Rey Mysterio uses his finishing move, the 619,
yeah.
So he goes through the ropes and kicks him in the head.
Yeah.
The crowd start booing.
Why?
And it's because that is a move he only ever used in WWE. So they saw the move as being a WWE move.
But that's in his locker now. I'm confused. A wrestler can grow.
No.
He can't just use the moves that he used back then.
Pete, I say this to you. EC dub. Even at the end when they're beating up Eric Bischoff, Rey Mysterio does the 619 and the crowd still boo Rey Mysterio for doing it.
They must have been waiting for him to, you know, do a... Because things like that don't... crowds don't grab hold of something that quickly, surely. Maybe they do.
I think they did. I really think they did. It's a funny one because the Mexican wrestlers didn't tend to have these finishing moves. So there was no real move that you'd associate with Rey Mysterio beyond the fact that he was this incredible flyer
right.
and would be doing jumps out of the ring and stuff like that. But that move was just seen as being, that is not a pure move.
That's not a pure garbage wrestling move.
How dare you come here? How dare you come here in front of all these big, fat, horrible men and start showing, you've moved on. Well, Fuck you.
We don't want the new single. We want the greatest hits.
Yeah, entirely. Do you know what? I was watching this the other day, though, and I was thinking, Rey Mysterio is still going at a high level, but he's getting on a bit.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, please, please, God, don't let them retire him without him doing that last run where he's doing the old... who can win my mask? Let's have him do... It's the hair versus mask match at WrestleMania. Let's have him go out as he should, which is unveiling himself in the ring. That face that we've seen before, but it was a long time ago, so it probably is a bit more scary now. But I just thought... It suddenly made me actually panic a bit, going, what if they do, like, a Rey Mysterio gets to retire without them doing a Jeopardy mask... Like year-long thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really want to see that very badly.
Or the mask goes to somebody else and then they've got to wear it. Whoever defeats him, the mask goes to the North Korean defector that I've made. North Korean
defector. It'd be great if it was just like Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar beats him. Fit on his head.
Tiny
little
mask. He'd
put it on one of his tits.
His eyes... His eyes like bulging out, and, screaming. It hurts. Then Rey Mysterio 619ing you, everyone booing.
Worst show ever! Yeah, wrestle me, Mark.
Psychosis. He had a career with a little sort of group with Super Crazy and Juventud Guerrera. After this, as the Mexicals, never really managed to rise to the heights that he did on this night again. Mm. Really, in the US. He got sacked in 2006 because he was arrested. He'd stolen a car, allegedly, from a 23-year-old guy in Rosarito Beach in Baja, California.
Nice.
I'm not sure if that's California or if that's another place. I don't know. Look it up. He basically asked to borrow the man's car. I don't think they knew each other. And the man refused.
At knife point.
Yeah. Psychosis then pulled a gun on him and took the car. During a chase with the police, he then hit loads of other vehicles. And when they arrested him, they found that the gun he'd had earlier in the night was actually just a water pistol. But as a result of this, unsurprisingly...
still got to prison.
His contract was terminated.
I'm obsessed with the video of a Russian man who has baked a load of cookies in the shape of an iPhone.
Uh-huh.
And he's, put icing on them to make them look like an iPhone. And then he's in the car trying to taunt policemen to stop him because he's on his phone.
Great.
And they stop him, and there's, the video that he's released is some kind of big prank. The female policeman's going, what are you doing? And he's going, what am I doing, officer? And he's like...
I'm on the biscuit. What? You're on a what?
And she goes, I stopped you because you were using your phone. You had your phone to your head. And he's going, and he just picks up his phone and goes, yum, yum, and eats it. And it's like...
Right.
It's now, a gag that's still going to lend you into
you're
jail.
You're wasting police time.
Well, not even... Like, you've still got your hand to your head.
Yeah.
So you still don't have access to the gear stick, or you can't control a car. You're not in full control of a car because you got a biscuit on your head.
Is it a crime to eat biscuit?
Yes, it is.
Wow. I didn't know that.
You can't arrest me if I don't know.
I don't know.
I did not know that it was a
crime.
How
long did you spend doing this? Many hours. But I didn't think to check.
Three of them perished in my hands. The guy had to suddenly break. It was very dangerous.
You are a very stupid Russian man.
Yeah, so you still do the crime, even if you're waving around a water pistol.
Well,
it could be the same as a gun.
Well, I know. I mean, he was called Psychosis. You know.
Yeah, you could blame that, if anything.
Did this come as a surprise to anyone? They then have the real meat of the show, which is...
Did you see the man who took your car? Well, I wouldn't have done if you hadn't taken his fucking mask off.
Proper good.
It's a me.
Oh, that's good. That for me was almost like, we should end the show here. Because
okay,
I think that was
12 minutes in.
That was
good.
A good topper. See you next week, chums.
That was actually a topper, a finishing joke that I used in WWE, so I'm not allowed to use it in WrestleMania, so purists.
All the WrestleMania fans booing. we get the sort of real main meat of the podcast, really, which is a funny thing. The WWE superstars enter the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yes.
And I look at this and I think, if you'd have been there in the meetings beforehand, you'd go, do you know what? If it's a reunion show, Why don't we not do that? Why don't we just let them do the reunion show, and it'll be great fun? But this works. I mean, no one could have seen it working this well. And they lead out with Kurt Angle comes out. And there's just some great bits in this. So Kurt Angle...
A lot of swearing. Oh, a lot of shits, a lot of fucks.
The best thing that WWE have ever done, and this is something that's not particularly like widely disseminated... But on the DVD of One Night Stand 2005, they'd actually mic'd Bradshaw, JBL, up with his own personal mic.
Oh, really? Brilliant.
And from the moment he enters, there's an audio track of him just talking throughout the whole show, and it picks it all up.
Right.
And some of the bits that really made me laugh is he's just talking to, like, Orlando Jordan next to him, and they're watching a match between Shane Douglas and Taz. And this is the bit that his mic picks up.
Shane Douglas. He looks tall because he's next to Taz. He's 5'3".
So JBL is just sitting there the whole night, just watching stuff, just going, this is a pile of old crap, this is rubbish, this is it. But what it brings up is...
What an exhausting performance, you've got to do that all night.
I think, and I think he is very clearly... turned up and gone, this is essentially a night off. What does Bradshaw do when he's travelling or on a night off? He drinks. And I think he is belligerent and drunk. That will later become a key factor in something that happens in the bit at the end.
Right, okay.
So he is genuinely... turns up and he does a career best performance in this because he is riling up a crowd. He was always one of those guys who was great on the mic and he was a sort of like mean bloke.
Yeah.
But people didn't really hate him because he was dull and they don't care and it's just wrestling. Mm. And in this room, everyone legitimately hates him. And he, fair play to him, legitimately despises every single person there. I don't think he makes any, like, the speeches that he gives make it very clear that he had no time for ECW.
Yeah.
It was seen as being, you know, garbage wrestling.
Yeah.
And he looked at it and he just went, look at all these fat, unathletic, drug-addicted shitheads. And he comes out and he just... They basically say to him, the mic is yours.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I've been waiting for this moment for a while. It's just majestic.
Before they even turn up his mic, he's like... His actual mic he's got in his hand, he gets given a message. He goes, like, he gets his ticket out and that's the big thing. We bought tickets. And he goes to Rimstero, I got my ticket, you little Mexican.
I know.
That's a really weird, little Mexican.
There's a funny thing where he knows everything he says is being recorded. And he's just sort of aggressive. There's a really good bit. It's also picked up by the mic. The mic that he wears really picks up the crowd.
Mm.
So on the TV thing, you've got a certain amount of, the crowd aren't mic'd massively. You just want a general hub. On that mic, you pick up so much specific abuse that is directed at him. It's magic and it's really, really aggressive. There's a little bit, I think we're just going to play it now.
They love us, Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
They love us.
Amazing, isn't it?
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
But it's slightly... What it does is it gives you a really sort of weird indication as to if you are a really hated wrestler, you suddenly realise in that it is constant noise and constant abuse that you can hear, which doesn't really come across on TV. And it's a really sort of unique little document of what it's like to be a wrestler walking through a crowd that hates you. It's sort of magic in that respect. It's really good. The other bit I really love is Kurt Angle comes out. And Kurt Angle, he has a very, very brief history with ECW.
Mm.
So after he wins the gold medals, Paul Heyman invites him to come to an ECW show. And Angle is beginning to sort of go, I wonder what this professional wrestling thing is about, because as an amateur, I'm not making very much money.
Yeah.
So he goes down to an ECW show, and he doesn't really know what to expect.
He's horrified, I imagine.
Well, they bring him in, and there's a bit where Joey Styles sort of says to the crowd, please welcome Kurt Angle, the big gold medal. And everyone's actually really sort of, wow, here he is, okay. Yeah. And Kurt Angle comes down and he's beaming. And he's just like, this is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. And they bring out little Guido, Nunzio. And Nunzio says, sir, I'm a, you know, amateur. And I just want to say you're a hero of mine. You're an absolute inspiration to me. And I respect you so much. And shakes his hand. And Angle is like, this is lovely. This is wonderful. And everyone applauds. And they go, ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Angle. He goes, thank you very much. And they all go, woo. and off he goes. And he goes to the commentary position, and he watches the show. And there's an angle they do on there where the, I believe, Raven crucified the Sandman.
Welcome to hell, son.
Yeah, and Angle went fucking ballistic. And he was, he just, Joey Styles talks about sitting next to him. He said, here we had an Olympic gold medalist who won the gold medal for America in America with a broken neck. And I'm just thinking, how the hell did Paul Heyman get this guy here? Why is Kurt Angle in this crap hole of a building in Philadelphia? So I'm sitting there watching this match, and that's when Raven and his minions crucify the Sandman on a wooden cross that the Sandman built himself because he was a carpenter. Raven even put a barbed wire crown around Sandman's head like a crown of thorns. South Philly was a very Catholic community, and they were sitting in stunned silence until they started booing. And it was not the good booing either. It was the "we don't want you doing this" kind of booing.
The thing I've heard many times in ECW.
I'm speechless, but Kurt Angle turns to me, assuming, maybe because I'm wearing a suit and tie, that I know what's going on, and he starts screaming at me. "I can't be a part of this. This is disgraceful. This is awful. I don't ever want footage of me being here to ever air." Paul Heyman, Joey Styles turns to Heyman for help. Paul Heyman has already left and gone backstage just to hide. Anyway, he then got Raven to basically come down to say to Kurt Angle, "I'm really very sorry for..."
You had to see that.
He said, "I'm really very sorry that we used religious iconography." Raven's exact words.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Angle was so disgusted, it basically put him off professional wrestling for, I think, another year, where he was just that horrified. So Angle has a little bit of history with ECW.
Right.
But the other thing is, he's also a great wrestler. And even if you're an ECW fan, you love Kurt Angle. And Angle, at this point, is a bad guy. Mm. And he comes out, and he is in front of everybody else, and he ends up stuck on the balcony on his own for too long, and he's just sitting there in front of the crowd, and he's sort of standing up going, "Where is everybody else?" He's walking around. It's all sort of awkward. And then JBL comes in, and he is
the lightning rod.
Oh, is he ever. I mean, he is just fantastic. It is a career best performance. Mm. It really is, and it makes the evening so much better.
Yeah,
because you have,
it's like Julius Caesar sort of thing, isn't it? In the balcony
completely
kind of thing, sort of like that.
You have the enemy sitting there, lording it over. And what you're doing, of course, as a fan, is you're going, "I wonder how you're going to get your comeuppance tonight."
Yeah.
The answer is, of course, he wouldn't. more about that anon. One of my favourite bits is when Angle does speak, the crowd begin chanting, "You suck dick."
Yes. And a lot of suck. Everyone's sucking something.
Oh,
either you
mate.
Suck or you suck dick or just.
Mate, that's just what being extreme is about. Clearly, they were like, there's a chance that when you come out, they're going to start chanting, you sucked it. You sucked it. So, we've got a little thing that you can say. Yeah. Okay? So, this is it here. Now, what he's not doing is going, no, I don't.
Yeah.
He's going,
good point, actually.
Yeah.
I thought, great diss, and thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, you
your
sucked it. Your mother taught me how. Right, so, sorry, you do.
So the accusation has landed.
Yeah, and I do it really well, because your mum taught me. Right, okay.
Okay, so.
Did you, like,
Who gave you this line?
Yeah, did you sort of approach her and say, would it be possible for me to learn? How did this arrangement come about? But, I mean, it doesn't matter, actually, Kurt. I mean, what's clear is you've just admitted you sucked it.
Yeah, excellent blowjobs. Excellent blowjobs.
Olympic gold medal winner in two categories. Oh, good Lord. You then get another little ECW.
Been sucking dicks on my son.
Yes, your mum. How is she? Oh. Do you know, I couldn't
she's
even bring myself
Mark,
to
so,
I know, and that's what I was thinking. Stuck too many dicks. There's
she
another.
Said that was her medicine.
I was about to do another comeback, but I was thinking, no, actually, because, I mean, is she ill?
No, she's fine.
Is she?
Yeah.
Good, bad, sucking dicks. There's another little ECW highlight.
My dad's lost a bit of weight recently. You have to know.
They just have so many highlights. It's really exciting. You have a bit where Steve Austin is pretending to be Eric Bischoff, which was Austin had been fired from WCW by Eric Bischoff when he was injured, and he was very worried about really what his career had next.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman said to him, come down to ECW, why don't you just do some stuff to get this off your chest? Mm. So Austin showed a side of his personality that had never been shown before, which was this passionate, funny, like no bullshit Texan. Previously, he'd been stuck with this very sort of bland, you know, stunning Steve Austin image where he had a ponytail, and, you know, later he was just this sort of cookie cutter wrestler with a much more charismatic Brian Pillman. Mm. And when he came to ECW, basically everyone sort of went, oh gosh, actually this guy's pretty good.
Yeah,
he's got a lot to give. Mm. They showed Too Cold Scorpio doing a lot of moonsaults.
Yes.
Too Cold Scorpio had a long career through Japan and WCW and WWF. Probably most famous for being the wrestler who was the best endowed wrestler of all time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even better than Dev.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh.
Apparently.
Hello.
You get Raven handcuffed to a cage being hit with a chair.
Yes.
You get Rey Mysterio and Psychosis brawling in a car park, which is really exciting. There's that sense of ECW again that they had no boundaries, that these were fights.
Yeah.
And there wasn't that thing of going, oh, when the bell rings, you know, it was just that thing of going, it could spill out into the parking lot. And it gave them such a really good, rich visual image. There's also the clip of Chris Benoit breaking Sabu's neck.
Yes.
Which really horrible.
It's really rough.
Really
but
horrible.
They really go all out to sort of go, ah, look, he landed on his head.
Chris Benoit got his crippler Chris Benoit nickname as a direct result of breaking Sabu's neck.
Man pile drives a woman called Beulah
McGillicuddy. Yes, that's right. Yeah. lots of women male on women violence, which,
yeah,
again,
didn't see.
What you didn't see at all, but what you,
oh,
what
but
you
I'm
can
excited
see.
Oh, yeah.
What you can see here, of course, is the themes that really fed into the Attitude Era, became, you know, you would get that big pop by, you know,
doing something outrageous.
China the stunner, that sort of thing, or punching Stephanie McMahon to the floor and then spitting on her. I mean,
a woman at one point doesn't want to be kissed because she's pregnant. She said,
yeah.
I won't kiss you. Why? Because you're somebody else's girl. No, because I'm pregnant.
I mean, there was a soap opera element.
You can kiss pregnant women, can't you?
No.
Tainted.
I don't want to get babies off a woman. That, for me, is probably the only one that I looked at and I thought, probably something else you could have put there. That didn't seem to me like the thing you want to go,
didn't land.
Here's all our highlights, here's the top 100.
Yeah, it was
at
really,
number one,
it was really WWE, wasn't
Stevie
it?
Richards. finding out a woman was pregnant. Although, fair play to them, the crowd really go, oh, shit! Yeah. You know, that reaction was amazing.
I want to watch my stories. I want to watch my story, darling. You leave me be.
Daddy watching his pictures.
she didn't. She ain't pregnant.
Who pregnant? a little, what we call a tableau of the American South.
I was watching, I was reading about, remember Baba the elephant?
Yeah. I cannot wait to see where this is
going. The original French story, very French, Baba the elephant goes and gets domesticated by high society, lives an old lady like the cartoon.
But he goes, very much like my own life.
But he goes back to the jungle. The king of the elephants dies because he eats a bad mushroom. And then Baba becomes the king of the jungle, has sex with his cousin, and has two kids, and teaches them all about, well, presumably, a really small gene pool. But yeah, fucks his cousin.
EC Dub!
But I was like, he didn't. I can't believe that's omitted from the cartoon TV show.
You can't have the word bad without bar. I'm very much into rebranding Bar for a new generation.
Bad Bar.
This ain't
E-Man's coming back, baby.
This ain't your daddy's Bar. By the way, you'll be excited to know that the WWE have launched a mashup series of action figures called Masters of the WWE Universe.
Hang on, mashup as in?
They've taken the design of the He-Man world. And then they've sort of crowbarred in Triple H into being new figures. They are the ugliest thing in the world. Do you know what they're worse than? Worse than Funko Pops.
I'd like have they not done a Terry Funko Pops? Has no one done that before?
That would be good.
I'm going to write in Terry.
I can't. Funko Pops. Are you using a keyboard made in the 1800s?
No, there's only Scary Terry, No Pants, some kind of Rick and Morty.
Cannot believe there is not a Terry Funk Funko.
Terry Funko Pops. No! Scary Terry Funk. There's no Terry Funko Pops.
Crazy.
Right, I'm making it.
They are, let me say this for the record, the worst company I've ever seen. Do I hate their output, but they haven't done a Terry Funko Pop.
Funko Pops wrestlers. Let's have a look what fucking wrestlers are.
Oh, Pete, you're, honestly, this is 9 million everything.
Undertaker hooded. Shawn Michaels. Oh, he looks all right. But they've added... just shit in it. Sounds a lot. That could be anyone.
Do you know... I'd like it if they had to put on a thing on each box that said...
Why we've done this.
We got this idea because one of us watched Muppet Babies.
Who's Big E?
Big E?
Yeah.
From The New Day? You'll love him.
Oh, right, okay.
You'll love him.
Have they done the rest of The New Day? I like them in New Day. They're on the WWE Network. They've got a Skittles advert that makes me laugh. One of them's got a funny catchphrase. And he's in the bath and he's got a load of Skittles. It's funny. I enjoyed it. I've no frame of reference. I've already got
Peter watching his stories.
I've only got that. Just the 30-second advert. I've got that, and I've got when the Hardy Boys come out and they're introduced by the New Day.
Classic.
That's the only bits that I've got in my head. Anyway, Terry Funko Pops. Out now. I'm going to do a custom Funko Pops. give it to someone at the live show.
I love the way you've gone from going, do you know what, I hate them, and in 3 minutes you're like, I'm going to make my own custom ones.
Oh, I bet absolute dirtbags have made custom ones, haven't they?
I will accept a Lord Alfred Hayes Funko Pop. That's the only thing that will make me like them.
Okay.
You get JBL doing his big speech where he's really laying into ECW, and a lot of it's really good because I think it's the only time that they mention porn websites on WWE programming. So JBL sort of goes, you're sitting in your mommy's basement, flipping between your porn sites, and you email your friend and you say, I'm hardcore. And he gets back to you and he says, I'm hardcore. ECW rules. I really like that basic sort of thing. ECW rules. I think that's a really funny thing. And out comes Rob Van Dam.
Yes.
So Rob Van Dam is the architect of this pay-per-view. It was his idea. He went to Vince McMahon to say, what do you think about doing this? Mm. It's popular. You have a load of the wrestlers on the roster. And the reaction he gets is absolutely unbelievable. Mm. The terrible thing for Rob Van Dam is he'd gone through ACL surgery.
Yeah, which is incredibly invasive.
It really is. And he had, I think, some of the most invasive ACL surgery you can have. Normally, it's like a 6-month, I think, recovery period. Mm. And I think he was gone for something like 10. So
really? Wow.
it was a tricky one. Now, Rob Van Dam, one of those guys who, in the ring in ECW, you could see he was the number one star in ECW when it came to in-ring work. He was their big franchise player. And one of the things that always happened with ECW is when they had one of these big stars, WCW or WWE, with their huge money, would be able to just poach them. ECW couldn't keep them. But Rob Van Dam had really stayed around for a long, long time. He was always on the verge of going because he was absolutely an unstoppable A-lister. The only thing about Rob Van Dam, when he did get to WWE, his in-ring stuff was, I think we talked about this before, really revolutionary and unlike anything you'd ever seen. It was so influential, really, that you look back at it now and it looks quite pedestrian. Mm. Only because everyone else has really sort of picked up on what he did. But he was, at the time, one of the most exciting in-ring performers around.
Right.
What he was notorious for was not being very good on the mic. He didn't have that great deal of personality. And in this, he comes out and he just gives a blast for the last, really, 3 years of his career in WWE, where he just sort of says, the writers have just had me saying, you know, whatever, and cool dude, you know, and I've got my voice back. And he just lays into that the WWE people who weren't there saying, this isn't your night. And there's a funny thing, again, this is all that worked shoot stuff.
Yeah.
Where it seems very, very much like that is something he legitimately would feel. Mm. This was his pay-per-view. Why are they putting the WWE people in? And it's delivered in a way that possibly is more scripted than he's letting on. But equally, they could have said to him, just go out there and say what you think. Because I shouldn't think that Bradshaw's was particularly scripted. He seems to be talking from the heart. And out comes RVD. And RVD, again, with this one performance, even though he wasn't able to wrestle at this pay-per-view, he gets himself more over in one night, really, than he has probably certainly in the last 2 years of his career, if not really since he first debuted in 2001. So it's a really exciting thing to see. It sets in motion everything for the following year, because this pay-per-view does become an enormous success. And they basically, you know, he's talked himself in one single promo back into the main event.
Yeah.
Magic to see.
And that does happen every now and again, doesn't it? Which I quite like.
Mm.
But he sort of talks about, you know, I don't need a storyline. I was thinking, I do need a storyline a little bit, so I'm not sure who he's blah. But he says, like, he's talking about, like, missing wrestling in this show, because obviously he's done his ACL. It's worse than missing Booker T's wedding.
Yeah,
that was a weird one.
I think they were a tag team for a bit, but it's not right. it's not like that was a massive thing.
No,
but,
I had no idea they were ever connected anywhere. But he missed his wedding.
I think that also is that thing about that work shoot, that you're going, look, we're taking you behind the scenes, you know.
Did nobody peruse the guest list of Booker T's second wedding?
I mean, when you say I was really disappointed to like miss Booker T's wedding, you do have a thing of going, do you call him Booker T in real life as well? Because did it say on his thing Booker T and
Mrs. T?
Mrs. T.
Mr. T and Mrs.
Would like
T.
Your, that would be his mum. So would like to invite you to the wedding of Booker.
Yeah, sorry.
And I think it was Charmel who is his.
Oh, it was, yes. She's only got one name, famously.
She has.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Confusing.
Will you be taking my surname? I do not do surnames. I'm just Charmel. Coming out of the RVD thing, they have an impromptu match, which is Rhino versus Sabu. Sabu, I mean, really, again, really hard to overstate how
scarred
influential.
That is.
Yeah, but in the 90s, there was no one better than Sabu. I mean, he was absolutely the number one wrestler that you wanted to see. He was excitement personified.
He's so
his in-ring
scarred.
Work is scrappy.
He's so scarred, Mark.
He throws himself through a lot of barbed wire and
got lovely boobies.
Tables.
He's got particularly part boobies. I'm enjoying them.
He was a revolutionary force in wrestling. He was also one of those people who, I think, after years of it not happening, since like the 70s, people were genuinely a bit scared of Sabu.
Right.
He was silent, never spoke, and just or did on rare occasions, but by and large on television never spoke, and he was just this absolutely fixed eye maniac who was coming for you. He has one of my favourite little sort of straps that they gave, and it was, I think it came in the introduction, but they used to say, he's suicidal, homicidal, genocidal, Sabu!
Genocidal!
He's genocidal.
That's ramped up.
I've also like thing of going, oh, but he's also suicidal.
Gerontocidal? Could you do a little bit of that, maybe?
I like
fratricidal.
I like to think that's all covered in the in the genocide.
He doesn't care. Is fratricide is that your wife?
Brother.
Brother. What's yeah. wife then? Matricide mother.
Yeah. What is it? It would be your spousal side.
I'm just trying to get Jimmy Snooker in there somewhere. I like.
Just saying, it was good enough for me. Happy about that.
Didn't need to. Mick Foley. It's RVD with one good knee. Steel chair to the bush. My favourite quote for the night, I think. RVD with one good knee. Enjoyable.
I was really keen on this match just because this is a match between two Terrys as well. So okay. Sabu's real name is Terry Brunk. And Rhino is Terry Gervin.
Steady, whoa. There was a Terry Funk and a Terry Brunk.
Terry Brunk?
Terry Brunk.
Terry Brunk.
What are your favourite wrestler? Mine's Terry Brunk. He's a big boy. He hits everyone. And he's scarred. You couldn't tell the difference.
Great news, everybody. I've managed to book Terry Brunk.
Which one? Terry Brunk. I quit match with Ric Flair. Tag team partner of Cactus Jack.
Oh, his finishing
move should
have been...
Although Bachi Sabu was the tag team partner. That didn't work at all.
It should... one of them should have been the bronchitis. Which probably would have finished off a few wrestlers.
Yeah, Bronchosaurus.
Yeah.
I actually did a quick list of other wrestlers who are called Terry.
Right, okay.
Do you think it's a common or an uncommon name for a wrestler?
Well, Terry always, I always thought, was a bit of a... Like an English name, Terry. Mm. I don't know why, but...
Terry's Chocolate Orange.
Terry Wogan.
There's quite a few. Hulk Hogan is Terry Bollea.
Oh, of course. Yes.
You've got Terry Funk, which is his real name. Terry Taylor. Magnum T.A., whose real name was the T.A., because he looked like Magnum P.I. He's an 80s wrestler. He looked like Magnum P.I.
Right.
But they called him Magnum T.A. T.A. were his initials. His real name was Terry Allen. I like the fact that whoever came up with Magnum T.A., they didn't know what the P.I. was in Magnum P.I., which I presume is Private Investigator.
Yeah, it will be.
But they were like, oh, just, he must be called Peter Inder, or you know, whatever it would be. Terry Gordy, who was a great wrestler, and The Warlord, Dave Bautista's favourite wrestler, his real name is Terry Sapinski.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of Terrys. I imagine there's quite a lot more out
totally
there.
Totally silly costume, more like, that's what I say.
Oh. Well, I hope The Warlord's not listening.
Oh dear. Oh. Let's get out of here, Mark. We'll be back next week. Sorry about that TS bit. There's no way to end. I should have ended it 30 minutes in when I did that funny joke.
Let's just hope he's died in the week before this goes out.
He'll be buried in that fucking costume.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
you've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.